Thank you, Paul, and good morning to everyone in here. Like you said, today I'll be talking about reducing quartalamin inputs using ferrous sulfate and working with the diseased dollar spot. So first off, it's important to know what dollar spot is. In the image on the left, you see I have a picture of a dollar spot infection center, and I pointed out the mycelium from the pathogen. When you get multiple infection centers, you can move to the picture to the right now, and you can see what is known as a widespread epidemic, where you have hundreds to thousands of infection centers covering your turf or your plants. There are many control options available to control dollar spot. It's not a new disease. It's been around for years. Of these chemical control options, there are many classes which have become ineffective and are now resistant. Chlorothalonil is very important fungicide for dollar spot control because it has a multi-site mode of action, which allows it a reduced risk at becoming resistant to the pathogen. There are many cultural practices which turf managers use to help control dollar spot, and of these, nitrogen is a big one, and I'm going to look at other options, other nutrient options that may help to reduce the disease occurrence. So starting off, this research came about from a previous grad student at Virginia Tech working on reducing Poa annua and silvery thread moss using ferrous sulfate. He found during this research that there was an unexpected reduction in dollar spot. And in this picture here, the T's represent dollar spot infection centers, and you can clearly see that the iron chelate and the iron sulfate have much fewer infection centers per plot compared to the sulfur or the untreated. They decided this was worth a more in-depth investigation, and this is some of his data from back in 2012. And you can see the first three circles that are grouped together, there's significant differences between the iron sources and the untreated and the sulfur. And one thing to note here is where the quality is. You can see by the end of the season, the iron chelate actually negatively impacted the quality. This was due to accumulation at the soil surface. He also did an in vitro assay looking at iron sulfate's ability to fungitoxically impact the pathogen. And you can see that at 1,000 parts per million, there's hardly any mycelial growth in that petri dish. But at 10 parts per million, it actually encouraged growth or increased growth. So my research questions, the first objective is, can ferrous sulfate reduce the rate of chlorothalonil needed to achieve effective control? The second objective is to determine the effective rate of ferrous sulfate needed to achieve control. And the third and final objective is, can ferrous sulfate extend the longevity of control of chlorothalonil when using them together? So my materials and methods for all three of these trials. So, again, I have one trial for each objective. There was a trial on the greens. This was on 007 creeping bent grass, so three trials on 007 creeping bent grass and three trials on 96-2 creeping bent grass at fairway height. So the 007 was green height, the 96-2 was fairway height. All treatments were 14-day interval, and the two products I used were ferrous sulfate heptahydrate, which is 20% iron, and Dacanil weather stick from Syngenta. So for the first objective, which again was the chlorothalonil rate, I set this up as a 2x5 factorial arranged in a randomized complete block design. Factor A, you can see, is ferrous sulfate rate. You have 0 and 48.8 kilograms per hectare. Factor B is the rate of chlorothalonil, and there I have 5 different rates of chlorothalonil. These rates are in kilograms of active per hectare. These convert to field rates of 1, 2, 3, and 4 fluid ounces per 1,000 square feet. So the results to date, this is after 1 year of one study, which will be repeated again this summer. You see I have ran a linear regression here. On the x-axis, there is the chlorothalonil rate in kilograms of active per hectare. And on the y, there is the AUDPC of the infection center count. So these are the number of infection centers that I physically counted in these plots. The AUDPC stands for the area under the disease progress curve. This metric basically accounts for the amount of disease occurring in a given amount of time. That's in a single quantitative number, which allows you to assess the amount of disease per treatment over the entire season based on that one single quantitative number. The R-square values, you can see, are very high for this, around 90, 95, 92%. And you can see the red line is the chlorothalonil with ferrous sulfate, and the orange line is no ferrous sulfate, just the 5 rates of chlorothalonil. So based off this linear regression, we ran some data analysis in SAS. The first bar graph you see there is the IC30. This means that this is the amount of product of chlorothalonil needed to control disease to 30 infection centers per plot. So there were significant differences there. The orange represents the untreated or without ferrous sulfate, and the maroon or red line represents with ferrous sulfate. And you can see there's a 1.43 kilogram reduction of chlorothalonil needed if you use ferrous sulfate to control disease to that level, to 30 infection centers per plot. Next is the intercept. The intercept basically tells you the influence of iron in the absence of chlorothalonil. Again, you have significant differences based on the mean separation, and there's a 64% reduction in dollar spot just by using ferrous sulfate without any chlorothalonil at all. And finally, the slope. The slope is 3 times greater for the plots that were only treated with chlorothalonil and did not have any ferrous sulfate. And you saw that on the regression that I ran. That line was much steeper than the maroon line. And just kind of to put this into perspective, I've provided some pictures of the plots. The data sometimes, I wanted you to be able to see kind of what we were seeing. On the left is the untreated, and on the right is basically the untreated with ferrous sulfate. So there was no chlorothalonil applied. You can see there's much less disease or dollar spot infection centers in those plots where the ferrous sulfate was treated. This next image is the 4.57 of chlorothalonil plus with and without the iron. Again, the iron rate was constant through this trial. You can see, again, pretty clear differences there. And again, this is converts to a field rate of 2 fluid ounces per thousand. And here I've shown the 4 fluid ounce per thousand rate, and you can see, again, pretty good differences between using ferrous sulfate and using only chlorothalonil. So again, I ran the same statistical analyzation for the Fairway trial, which was on 96.2. You see similar trends here. The R-square values are not quite as good as before. Again, the X and Ys are the same as before, and the color of the line is the same as for the other graph. Did the same exact analysis on this. You can see in the Fairway application, it actually was 3.08 rather than 1.43, which was on the greens. The intercept of this was an 86% reduction. And I didn't mention this before, but you can see I had to divide the intercept and the slope by 1,000 to make all these fit on the same graph. So these numbers were much higher than 3 or 9 and 8, just to throw that out there. And for the slope of this one, it's a 7.5 times greater slope. You saw that again. That line was much steeper for the Fairway trial. So moving on to my second objective, this was looking at the ferrous sulfate rate. This was no chlorothalonil, just ferrous sulfate. And the important thing on this slide to note is just simply the rate. These convert to field rates of 0.1, 0.5, 1, and 2 pounds of ferrous sulfate per 1,000 square feet. And you can see our results to date for that trial. The AUDPC, again, so the infection center counts just as before, is on the y-axis, where the ferrous sulfate rate is on the x-axis. And you can see statistical differences based on the mean separation. The important thing to note here is that the 48.8 kilogram rate per hectare, this is something that Dr. McCall has impressed right now through crop science. This can actually be reduced or cut in half, and you can achieve the same control. So in his experiment, he didn't really test different rates of ferrous sulfate, only the one that they chose to start with. So this proves that you can actually use lower rates than we initially thought and get the same amount of control. For the Fairway, we've done the same thing again. You can see, again, the same kind of separation. Here, you get the same amount of control if you use the half-pound rate per 1,000. And the only difference here between this and the green trial was that the 97, the highest rate, which was 2 pounds per 1,000, was actually the same as 1 and 0.5, and in the other trial, it was actually a little better. Just some pictures to kind of show you what we saw there. You can see the untreated control has 500 to 600 infection centers, along with the 4.88 rate. And as you know, you increase your ferrous sulfate rate, you get less and less dollar spot. So the third objective, again, was the longevity of control. For this trial, this one was a little different. This was a completely randomized design. And we had the untreated control, which received no ferrous sulfate, and we had treatment 2, which received only ferrous sulfate. So the star beside the Dakinil weather stick, that indicates that we applied Dakinil weather stick every time infection center counts in those plots were above 30. And I rated these trials twice per week, so we closely monitored the infection center counts and used these for this data analysis, which is here. In this data analysis, what we've done, these are all the rating dates I rated throughout this summer. And what we've done is we've shown the number of applications for the plots that received no iron and the number of applications for the plots that received iron. And then we looked at the interval between those applications to see what the difference was. How much longer could you extend the longevity? So for the untreated, there were 6 applications, and for the ferrous sulfate treated plots, there were 4 applications. This brings up a 5-day difference if you take the averages of the days across the treatments to see how many days elapsed between the different plots. Do the same exact thing for the fairway trial, and you can see that the same trends here were happening. Again, I've mentioned that the disease pressure was much lower in our fairway trials. And you can see 6 applications without ferrous sulfate and 4 with ferrous sulfate. Again, about a 5-day longer control when you use the ferrous sulfate. So what have we learned so far? We've learned that using ferrous sulfate in conjunction with the chlorothalonil program can reduce the rate needed from 1 to 1.5 kilograms of active per hectare on greens and around 3 kilograms of active on fairways. So this will allow you to use less active ingredient or less product or less amount of product at each application, which in turn will allow you to use less product throughout the season. The previously reported rates of 48.8 by McCall et al., those can be reduced, cut in half, and without compromising any efficacy. And finally, the ferrous sulfate was able to extend the longevity of control of chlorothalonil by about 5 days. So what does this how does this impact the industry? Well, it's another tool for dollar spot management. Turf managers are always looking for other things to help suppress diseases to levels where their fungicides or their cultural practices can reduce the disease more. They can use less fungicide in turn to save money, things like that. They can incorporate into their IPM program. You know, they're going out there and spraying fungicides anyway for dollar spot. They can add, just tank mix this in, and just an easy way to reduce the amount of dollar spot. It's so chlorothalonil is up for re-registration by the EPA in 2017, and we're thinking that maybe they may reduce the amount of chlorothalonil that you're allowed to apply per year, mainly because it is carcinogenic to the environment and as well as the very high use rates. The other multi-site that Syngenta makes secure has much lower use rates than chlorothalonil, so we're thinking they may reduce the yearly allotted amounts that you can apply. And finally, it's very cost-effective. This $32 per hectare is actually for the one-pound rate, so you could cut that in half, achieve the same control at $16 per hectare, where a chlorothalonil application is about $200 per hectare. So with that, I want to thank my committee members and my lab mates who've helped me with this research. And with that, I will take any questions. Pictures, and this is just an example. This is right after I applied. You can see it really, many of you know that iron causes the turf to green up, a rapid green up effect right after you apply it. We did rate turf quality throughout the season for each of these trials. Each time I counted dollar spot infection centers, I would rate the turf quality as well. We did not show any of that data here. The reason that I wasn't pushing the highest rate of ferrous sulfate for the rate trial was because it actually did reduce the quality of the turf. Now, the study I showed at the beginning from the graduate student at Virginia Tech, he saw the reduced turf quality with iron chelate, which is one reason we decided to use iron sulfate for this trial, because it seems to be much safer. It doesn't get bound up in the soil surface layer.
So it's at 24 kilogram per hectare rating.
Yeah, there was no turf quality effect.
We actually have to move on to the next presentation. We will have time at the end for all the presenters to come back and answer any questions. All right, thank you.